It's the Elaborators. My name's Justin. You are part of one of the greatest groundswells of podcasting in the known universe, as far as I can tell. And producer Simon is with me.
Wow.
I don't know. Did I talk it up too much?
I love it.
Why not?
The greatest groundswell of podcasts.
I've got nothing to back that up. Can you please get me some social science to back that up?
I can aim for some stats.
Absolutely.
Yep.
If you'd like to write in and say there's 700 people listening with you at the same time, that'd we can take ideal. Your statistic of one person listening and turn it into 700.
Yeah.
Why not? Hey, very special episode of the podcast coming up today because...
Yes. Because we've got a special guest who is not with us in the room.
Not with us in the room, but in another room altogether. But before we get there, through the week, of course, we spoke to Joy Rivera last week. And she spoke to us about the abundance of, the best sandwich in the world, the $18 sandwich, which has become the mythical sandwich. And we may put this to our guest, but have you through the week of gratitude, because you've lived in gratitude this week because of, you know, how she challenged us last week. What are you thankful for this week? And have you had a better toasty than ever before?
I did have another ham and cheese sandwich, and it was a toasty. And
just
it was a good
another.
One. Yeah, just one for this week.
Just one.
And it was as good as the one last week because I'm making the same.
You are Captain Consistency. I will say that about you. If there's one thing I know about you, producer Simon, it's that if the world is consistent, you're a happy man.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm. And then what am I grateful for?
What are you grateful for?
Let's have a think. I got some. My kids are doing great at school.
Yeah.
So nice. I'm grateful for how hard they're working and that they're getting success.
And I'm going to say I'm grateful for my under-18s basketball team that actually listened to some of my coaching last week. Not a huge percentage of it, but just slightly.
Enough to win?
They won the week before. They lost this week, but they lost to a much better team. And they this is round of applause.
Okay.
They even admitted that they lost to a better team, which for an under-18s basketball team – that's pretty humble of them.
Sure. I thought that would have been the go-to with a loss. Oh, they were just so much. You never
admit that. You're like, no, they were jerks. It was the umpire's fault. They were rough, whatever. And I said, mate, they were better athletes than you and they beat you fair and square. And they said, yes, they did.
Okay.
They did indeed. Hey, that's enough of that.
Sure.
We've got a special guest who is living on the other side of the world and she's a friend of ours. So I will just tell the audience to applaud as we welcome back our friend Lisa.
They're pretty pumped. Studio audience, they're here for it.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
I am good. Hello.
Hello. On the other side of the world in South Asia, and what's the temperature there right now?
Right now it's a sticky 26. It's monsoon season. So it's raining, but it's still hot.
You've been there, I believe, 4 years, the better part of 4 years now. Have you acclimatized?
No. The one thing I really forget to figure out is riding in monsoon weather. I'm so used to driving a car in Melbourne, so I have the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I have the heater. Mm-hmm. But here I just have a plastic bag that I put over my head and I drive in the rain and I get so mad. And when you need to stop on the road, you put your foot in a puddle. It's just... Yeah, I have not figured that out yet.
Do we need to send you a plastic bag that you put over your head?
No, it's a poncho. It's a good.
Okay, I was going to say.
I was going to say we can provide.
Sounds like
raincoats.
Sounds like sitting at the footy with a garbage bag on your head.
Your mum got the Coles bag out and said, "Just stick it on your head. We're staying till the end of the game."
Yep.
I mean, worst case scenario, if I don't have my poncho with me, I'm looking for a plastic bag to just put on the seat so it's not wet. But yeah, it can get. With monsoon, it can get quite steamy in that plastic bag as well.
Right.
So you've got the around you, the steam on the inside. Yes.
Oh, can we get Lisa one of those, you know those suits that people dress up in at like festivals and stuff? They can be like a big fat person in the, you know, they've got fans in them?
With the fans.
The fans.
No.
I'm just, we do it at Christmas time. Someone walks around and there's like, that can be a superhero or a Santa Claus or whatever.
What it needs to be. It needs to be the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Tyrannosaurus
Rex. Inflatable costume. riding around the streets.
Lisa the Tyrannosaurus Rex with a scooter in monsoon season, keeping cool on the inside and dry on I think we've solved it. I think we've solved it.
You'd be highly visible.
So, Lisa...
I didn't want to stand out more.
Yeah, you already stand out. Best sandwich you can make yourself on the other side of the world is?
The Nutella banana sweet sandwich, toasted.
Nutella banana.
Nutella banana.
You know,
I'm not sure I can deal with that.
I was going to say I'd introduce my kids to that, but I hate banana.
Yeah, the banana aspect is the banana aspect.
Banana pancake.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I get there's people that put the banana on the fire pit and add the Nutella, but I'm with you, Sim. I don't like the banana bit.
Right.
So I can't. Are you a banana, Lisa? You're. How many bananas a day are you like?
At least two.
At least two bananas. Is banana breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the go breakfast, and it's also sitting down breakfast. Sitting down, it's just chopped up.
Right.
Interesting.
So there's a genteel way to have your banana whilst sitting.
Yeah. It's different.
strangest food that you've adapted to so far?
The strangest food is, I'm like going vegetarian, no, a lot of dal, so just mm-hmm. a lot of beans, a lot of just rice and dal.
Mm-hmm.
Missing the masu, the meat, right. And a lot of spices. I don't actually eat a lot of spicy food back home, so it's not that strange, but it's just different for me.
So has your palate gotten better with hot food? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I've discovered it has. Mm-hmm. I don't gear up as much when I find a spicy dish that I didn't expect to be spicy. But yeah.
I did get told by yours. We have a mutual friend in Deanna Ritchie who told me the other day, she's an American and many people have seen her on this podcast. She told me that there is a right and a wrong way to eat hot food. Because I said to her, the American palate for spices, that is quite wild, the hot wings kind of thing.
Right.
Which, you've eaten the hot wings in the States, haven't you?
Oh, I steered clear of the hot wings.
I can imagine. Yeah, and also the banana ones. Mm. But she was saying, no, Jazz, there's a right way. So is there a right way to put the spice on your tongue or something?
I'm not sure about this trick. Is it location?
I don't know. I'm thinking, is it the front of the tongue, the back of the tongue? I think this is something we should explore. But yeah. we've been going through a series on gratefulness, and you are someone who WBC supports as a worker internationally, and you're doing some amazing stuff in the local community there, including, I believe, learning how to throw pots. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I would love to show you a picture. Let me get one up. Okay. I am currently making a Christmas sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have given you the tip away. I should have made you guess what I was making.
Okay, let me guess. Is it a Christmas sculpture?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well. That. The other way, yeah, other way. Up the other way. Yeah, there you go. Beautifully done.
That's nice.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I can guess who that is too.
You can guess.
Yeah. That was Steve and Sally. They were the predecessors to Mary and Joseph, who were the first ones in the stable.
Steve and Sally. They're not necessarily names I've heard often.
But someone had to try it first.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm guaranteeing there were some other people that stayed in that stable earlier. Because I reckon that guy that owned that motel had probably sent people to the stable.
Probably.
Before. So that's Steve. But am I writing in my guess that maybe I'm on the right track there?
Yes, you are correct. The story of Christmas. So hopefully it's an ornament that I can give to people here as a gift.
Oh, so you're planning on making multiples?
I am planning on making multiples. That was trial number one.
Wow.
What was it made from?
Clay. Mud.
Yeah, great. That's nice.
With some dal and spices on the side. You can actually put your dipping sauce in it afterwards. It's really good. But that's something you're actually learning. That's your area of study right now. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's my platform where I can just be and connect with both local people and foreigners. It's a good way and also a good creative outlet for myself.
Do you find that it's a way of having conversation? I assume, how's your conversational language going? Are you getting used to the language?
Yeah, conversational is, I'm going to say it's good.
Yeah.
But getting into that heart language, I can see there's a little bit of a push that I need to do with my study, but conversational local language, I'm...
So when you're working and being creative like that, do you find that's another way of having conversation with people?
Yeah, just more so with my teacher.
Okay.
But not so much with classmates, but with my teacher I get to converse a lot and share ideas about what I'm thinking, why I'm making this, what's the plan.
So is ceramic that a strong art form where you live? Is there a lot of that around?
Yeah, it's quite cultural. People, some families with a certain last name, they are born into the ceramic trade.
Oh, wow.
there's places in the city where, people get to throw clay a lot, and they just make it. You can walk through the neighborhood and everyone in the house is making a pot, just slapping away on that, on the clay.
Is it mainly in a functional, they're making bowls and things, or is it sculptural or a bit of combo?
It's a bit of a combo. They do use the sculptures in like worship practices as well. So mm-hmm. there's a religious tie to it. Or whether it's food, like cultural foods as well, like storage or making. And then just for beauty.
So, and you're saying at the moment there's a lot of goats around because it's festival season. Is that right?
Yes. This month, every Monday, I'm seeing more goats than usual. But then October as well, that's the time where goats are often on the street, but you only see them for a day or two.
For the kids listening at home, maybe shut your ears. Why is that? Why do you only see them for a day or two?
It's a celebratory meat, so when celebrating a festival, it's the go-to meat to eat and share with family and friends. I do see a lot of goats around sometimes.
Yeah. Now, I know that you've been there 4 years now. Do you find the homesickness is a different thing now? Do you still sort of pine for Melbourne and a car that covers your head instead of a poncho?
Especially in the rain, yes. Every season, I pine for the car. I've adapted to life in the city here. I've found the local spots where I get my sandwich equivalent or a coffee that feels like a Melbourne coffee. I remember what a Melbourne coffee should be like.
So you've lowered your bar of expectation to fit in culture. That's good.
Unknowingly, but there are comforts here that I've adapted to. So it's good.
So at the moment, as we talk to you 4 years into the journey, what are you most grateful for at the moment?
I am most grateful for the community that's built over those 4 years. I think if I reflect back to my first year, I was still in that getting to know people stage, meeting friends, making connections and hoping we'll have someone to hang out with. But now after 4 years, I've built that community. I recently had my mum and dad visit, and they visited this time visiting. The first time was pre-COVID, and at that time I was showing them a lot of tourist things or like places to go, places to eat. But this time when they visited, we were just going to a lot of people's living rooms and having a meal with them. And that's just something that I could reflect on and see that growth in living here after such a long time. I'm grateful for that community.
That's wonderful, yeah, because the idea of a local is there's people to pop in on. You can pop in. You're a pop-in person.
Yeah, people call me over for a meal. They drop cheer over. You can see that there's that comfortable level now.
Are you the hostess? Do you like hosting people at yours as well?
I do like hosting, but I'm not usually the hostess, but I do enjoy it.
Well, there you go.
I have enough cups and enough chairs, but I need to keep filling them up.
Well, you're a ceramicist now. Just make more cups and bowls.
Exactly.
And chairs.
Yeah. Oh, a ceramic chair.
Moved gently.
Yeah, but I've got the mugs down pat.
Nice. Yeah, you got the mugs going on. That's great. I know that you're hanging out. There's a bit of an international crew there as well. As much as you are assimilating, you've got the language down, you've got the culture down. What's the other sort of other nation that you're seeing the most of? Because there's not many Aussies, is there?
No, there's not many Aussies, but that's the blessing of the diversity of the culture here. Mm-hmm. I've got some American friends, some people from the UK, South Africa, South America, and we get to bond over like watching the World Cup, the Women's World Cup at the moment, seeing Australia win, or just sharing meals together, going to church together, watching TV together. It's fun.
Just sharing times. You've been traveling a lot, at least twice a month, I believe, to regional areas. What does it mean to travel to a regional area? Is that a big undertaking?
Yes, it is quite a big journey when you want to travel from the city either east or west. It requires kind of getting up early in the morning, whether it's 5 a.m., 6 a.m., to catch a local bus or to catch the plane. which is always delayed by the monsoon weather, whether it's a landslide or whether it's a truck that needs to be recorrected and make room on the little road to get past the hill or the mountain. It is, yeah, it's a bit of a journey, a bit of an adventure to go and travel. But, yeah, I do get to travel to meet students and local churches in different parts of the country and just have fellowship with them over the weekend. And that's a big blessing of the work that I get to do here. So getting there is good. Finally reaching there is good.
The struggle. and when you get to these places, have you visited enough times now that they know who you are and you're creating community in those little villages as well?
Yes, it's so good. That's what I love now. Also that I've been enough to this place. I'm like, I have my local cheer shop or I know how to use public transport there. It's become such a familiar setting. Yeah, that I can be quite independent there as well, or I have students to pop into or a pastor to visit or something. Yeah, that didn't happen 3 years ago, so that's cool.
That's pretty, yeah, so that's amazing. Certainly something to be thankful for. And when you're supporting this, I know you're part of an international church when you're there, and is that a bit of a home feeling as well?
Yes, yeah. Having the international church, the worship, the songs that I remember singing when I was at Werribee or youth or a child as well, some of those familiar songs. And it's really nice to get that feeling of that global church, that you're a part of a picture, a family of believers. So it's cool. Yeah.
Just paint the picture for us, because we have a picture of what it is like to go to our building, our nice, neat building with all the facilities. Paint the picture for us of what a gathering might look like.
Yeah, for the international church?
Yeah. Either.
Okay. we have fellowship on Saturdays with the local community and then on Sundays with the international community. Fellowship on Saturdays. It's a small building. Often we sit on the ground. We don't have chairs, but that also means we can fit more people in the building when we sit and squeeze on the floor.
Nice.
And we'll have worship time for about an hour, singing for about an hour, and then a sermon for about another hour.
there's a guy that frequently is on this podcast named Stan that you know very well that would love to, wouldn't he? He would jump at that an hour. He'd love it.
Yeah. He came with me once. I don't know how he felt about that. And got to sit in on that one of those fellowships.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the international community, it's quite similar. Like, we have a building that we rent from the local people, and, praise and worship, squeeze as many as you can inside, and, yeah, it's really cool to see lots of people gather.
How many people typically would be able to sit on the floor and be part of that?
In a local fellowship, maybe 50. It's a small room.
Mm.
50, yeah.
and do you do any singing or speaking in those spaces?
I've been invited many times, and more. I just do the small group studies after, but
right.
I don't. Yeah, I play the tambourine.
Oh, good on you! Shake that tambourine. I was going to say, make yourself a ceramic one. Why not?
Yeah,
that would be difficult for a tambourine.
A clay tambourine. Doesn't sound overly practical, does it?
No, not really.
I don't know. Depends on your firing, I guess. How good your firing? Can you make a really stiff-brimmed? We may have gone off topic. At the moment, what are the biggest challenges for you, Lise?
That's a great question. The biggest challenges, while my language has come a long way, I do still feel like there is that depth of language that I want to push through and get through to that next level of communication is a bit of a challenge. But, I think it's beautiful when a lot of local friends see when I'm trying and they just help me along. But I just want to get there, that having that patience and that challenge. Missing home can be a challenge sometimes, but it's also good because of the community here. There's different things each day, whether it's the rain, the monsoon rain, or the missing home, or the language. It comes up again and again.
What do you do to find that centered place, that place of peace? What are your daily practices to find that for yourself?
yeah. Like you mentioned, the gratefulness series you guys are in, I try and just remember each day I try and practice that gratitude. I brought my jar.
Tell us about the jar.
So yeah, each evening I will write at least one thing down that I saw God at work in that day, or encouragement, or so basically something I'm thankful for. And I put the jar and I push all the post-it notes in, and I will open that jar up when I need some remembering, need some reminders. But yeah, so that, spending my quiet time remembering what brought me here, why I'm here. And there's a verse in the Bible about taking every thought captive, and just reminding myself of the truth of God's faithfulness, his character, his promises. Yeah, that's a daily practice.
Do you feel like there's a you're in a more of a thriving place at the moment? I know when you first go, it's a bit of that honeymoon period and you're just kind of getting through. There has been some real tough times. Where are you on the struggle to thrive scale at the moment?
I think in opportunities like this, where I get to speak to people and reflect intentionally, yeah, I can see that joy in the season and the group. Yeah, so I appreciate these moments. But, yeah, it's coming towards the end of this particular term and you get a little bit tired of that cultural adjustment or not understanding everything. So I'm, where am I in that scale? Not at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest.
And, look, of course, you know, part of it is, you know, we're your friends back here in Melbourne, and we are thinking of you often and certainly praying for you and sending whatever support we can. At the moment, I believe, of the support you need, it's the bucket's full at the moment, and that must feel like a good thing.
Yeah, that was also a big answer to prayer. I had been praying at least over the last 4 months with supporters who get my newsletters, just praying about the ongoing practical needs that I have, and just a couple of weeks ago I found out that all those needs are met in a sustainable way, and so I'm very thankful for all you guys back home who can help me and support me and partner with me in being here, and also just thankful for his provision and encouragement.
Again, going over as a single person, you haven't taken a family member with you or anyone. It's just Lisa in her own little bubble. Do you feel like you've got that surrogate family there yet?
Yes, I have, like, the sisters that we can bond over yeah. and go to, and the neighbours, my landlord who lives next door, he's always, when my parents came, he was saying, oh, she's like a daughter to me. And I don't know if my parents loved that.
Oh.
they're a bit jealous, but also, no, it is good. There are people looking out for me as well, and community that I have to connect with here, and that relationship. So there.
Do you find that there's still enough, like, Western influence over there? Like, have you seen the Barbie movie? That's the big question, of course.
I have not seen it, but I know that I feel I should. I've heard so much about it.
I haven't seen it either. Don't worry about it. Simon, producer Simon organised for us to see Oppenheimer, so we started there. So yes, we've learned our life lessons, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great too. A couple of my American friends went.
Yeah.
And it was highly recommended.
Yeah, I think the lesson was don't be Oppenheimer. Was that right?
Yeah, there's a few people in that one I wouldn't be.
Yeah. Okay. We've got some archetypes of who's Lisa, who's your hero? If you were to say this is the person that I would most like to emulate, is there a person that comes to mind, or a person from history, person that you have hung around with?
Well, the first person that came to my mind as you said that was actually my mother. just how prayerful and faithful she is, and loving and generous she is. And I watch sometimes and go, oh, that's too much, or you're being too nice, or what are you doing? And that it just, yeah, it challenges me to, yeah, love others like that and pray like that. And then even just local believers here as well, seeing just perseverance and challenges and the encouragement people give out of even in their seasons of difficulty. Like, there are people that just are quite inspiring along the way here as well.
So be like your mum. That's the point. What's mum's name?
Dawn.
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 Be like Dawn. I'm sure producer Simon can make us a little meme to share around. Just be like Dawn. Do like Lisa, be like Dawn. That's beautiful. What's the greatest adventure you've had? I mean, surely living in a rugged terrain. Have you almost fallen down a mountain yet or something silly like that?
Yes, I've with friends we were scooting and riding bikes up to the top of a mountain to the ridge to have just to look at the view and to grab a drink. And on that way I did topple down the side of a road.
Yeah.
But thankfully a lot of people stopped and helped and I have got back on the scooty.
Back on the bike. Got your plastic bag on your head, got back on the bike and went up that mountain.
Yeah. But yeah, so like some adventures are just sleeping in a bus on the side of the road overnight because the road is too bad to go. On that, I can look back at it as an adventure, but at the time, very impatient.
Very grumpy. Sitting in a bus, and I'm assuming they've turned the air conditioning off at some point, and you got your neck creaked up against the glass trying to sleep.
And there's a goat on the seat in the front, or like a chicken on the other side.
I was about to say somebody sleeping on your shoulder, but goats in the front seat is a whole different ballgame.
Do goats make good sort of leaning posts for pillows? They move too much, I guess.
Probably smell.
They kick a little bit.
Kick a little bit. I had a dream about a thing biting me. No, it was just a goat. So basically I'm thinking, you know, there's lots of support for you and that's great, but I'm thinking, Simon, we need to organise a poncho sponsorship.
Right.
And a neck pillow sponsorship. Is what I'm thinking. Yep. One of those ones where you
travel pillow.
Travel pillow. That one of the ones where you touch the button and it goes, you know, whatever.
And if they have some kind of attached fan to help with that heat,
No, we're sending you the Santa suit for that.
Oh, okay. Oh, multiple gifts. Oh,
yeah. So at the moment, all I'm
it's quite the care package.
It's quite the care package. Just some
Tim Tams. Very interesting to pay.
So a Santa suit with fans, a neck pillow, a plastic bag for your head that's more of a poncho. More poncho provider.
Right.
Oh, you know what we could get? Real taste of home. We could get those cheap ones they sell at the footy. Just send a 3-pack of those.
Yeah.
Who's your team? Who's your footy team?
I go for Hawthorn.
Good girl. Correct. That's the correct answer. Yes. Not a great season, but my son tells me, because my son's 17, so he talks about these kids we've got, Dad, these kids.
Right.
It's going to be a good team next year.
They say that every year for the bottom six.
I think every team says that if they're losing. It's good. It's good rebuild season.
Right.
Have you been watching the Matildas play?
I have been, yeah. Just the last game.
Everyone's on board now. Everyone's on board. So as we speak to you, so you might be listening to this podcast in years to come, but as we're speaking to Lisa, the girls, the Matildas have made the quarterfinals.
Yeah,
so
I believe.
We're not quite sure of the results yet. So if you're listening to this in several months' time and the Matildas have won the World Cup, then yes, wasn't that a great experience? And if they didn't,
we did so well.
We did so well. Well done, Matildas. Lise, there's so much that we could ask you about, but what are you most looking forward to at the moment?
Well, we have a couple of programs coming up in October for our student fellowships, and I'm quite excited by that one because it's bringing a lot of students from around the country to one spot to four-day gathering, and that's something I'm really looking forward to. It's we're currently in the planning stages for that, so that will be something to pray for. But yeah, I'm excited about that. We're calling it Revive. So with expectation, we're planning. So yeah.
And that'll involve bringing people in and accommodating them and having...
Feeding them, accommodating them. It'll be on site for a couple of nights. So, yeah.
How many students are you expecting for that?
We're planning for 400.
400?
Wow.
That's a big deal. It happens...
You better start throwing some pots, mate. You're going to need a lot of extra cups and pots. That's what I'm just saying.
And goats.
Goats. Get yourself a goat.
Yes. Yeah, it happens every 4 years. And so actually the one that happened... previous to my arrival, so I get to be a part of this one for the first time.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is every 4 years happens and you haven't done one of these yet. But, and you're, so this is your first one, but you're hosting and organising it.
I am assisting, yes.
So the Excel spreadsheets are coming out, but we'll be praying for that too. And look, while we're speaking to you, is there anything else that just, I guess, our listening audience and us can be praying for you?
Yeah, so be praying for these events that we're hosting, for just all those details that needs to be put together. Sometimes planning in a foreign country can take a lot longer than in a place that you know what's going on. And yeah, pray for the gatherings that happen more regularly over the months, and just relationships keep going deeper.
Well, Lisa, my friend, it's been lovely to catch up with you. And look, we miss you around these parts, but we are happy to share you with the world because we think you're pretty ace.
Yeah, thank you for sharing about me with everybody at Werribee.
That's right. And make sure you don't fall off any more mountains. That'd be good.
Yep. Yep.
And don't forget banana and Nutella sandwiches. And just to a throwback to our previous podcast with Joy, she in her bunker, in her apocalyptic bunker, has mayonnaise and Nutella. So wow. I'm thinking if
that's probably, Lisa, if there was one thing you would eat out of a jar, what would that be?
Oh, good question.
If I could eat it out of a jar.
Marshmallow fluff.
Well, put it this way, Joy was eating mayo. Unless she was feeling really down and it was Nutella.
I actually made that a prayer point because I'm pretty sure it's a sin.
Yeah, I'm thinking tuna, but that doesn't sound any better.
Tuna, no, that's practical.
Maybe it's not a jar, stunning. Maybe it's a tin.
Tin of tuna.
We'll take it.
Okay, so far the care package is a tin of tuna, a jar of Nutella, a poncho, a neck pillow, and a Santa suit with fans.
Yep.
And you have to do all that whilst scooting and we want pictures.
All right, I will send you some pictures once they arrive.
Done, Lisa, thank you so much for spending some time with us on The Elaborators.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're a legend. We miss you, and we'll see you when you come back and visit us soon.
Yes, see you soon.
Lisa, see you later. Producer Simon, thank you for being part of this. Thank you for all of the things. It's been fun hanging out with you. And if you want to know anything more about The Elaborators, hit us up on the socials and send us ponchos.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. What Elaborators ponchos.
Elaborator ponchos.
For all the times it rains in the studio.
I think we should send... Lisa, would you like an Elaborators poncho?
Yes, I would.
Done and done.
Permanent marker, I think, is all about all we can do on that one.
See you next time, guys. Bye.